Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's get a little calm from my buddy Howard Beck. Outstanding, talented writer, podcaster, NBA reporter, journalist at The Ringer. Joins me now from the other side of this beautiful country, Mr. Howard Beck from Brooklyn. What's up, buddy?
What's happening, Bill? How are you, sir?
I want you to know that I've got one really good What the Beck lined up for later in our talk, and I will try to think of some more because I know it's your favorite part of radio whenever you do these hits across America.
It's really the only reason I do radio at all.
It's for these moments. Before we get into those, though, let me posit to you something I've been thinking about, and you dissuade me of this view or confirm it. I've been thinking just about how many teams there are that are really interesting in this potential playoff matchups we have coming up. How many teams have won 45 games or 46 games or whatever mark you want to look at. And it strikes me that there's a level of parity maybe that was planned in a CBA many years ago that's finally come to fruition that masks, I think, perhaps, the just how like little distance there is for me between some of the teams at the top of the standings and some of the teams even in the play-in. Does that strike you as accurate? You've been covering this sport longer than I have. Do you see a level of parity that is new, that is unique, that says something about where the league is going or has been?
I think we've been there for the last couple of years, to be honest. I mean, I think, you know, the NBA, you can't exactly engineer parity because there's so many other factors, right? There is how ownership of a particular team acts and how would the decisions GMs make and whether a player blossoms or not and when. Like, there's all these other factors that I feel like we need to at least acknowledge before saying, oh, it's just the hand of God here. You know, David Stern and then Adam Silver created a CBA where now we have, you know, 25 teams competing, you know, at a certain level and then five bad ones. Like, they've done a lot of different things to make it a lot harder for the top end teams to keep, retain talent, acquire more talent. All that has had an impact. The reformed lottery odds, which were created as a disincentive to tank, certainly had an influence. The play-in tournament, which we will see start to unfold tonight, has had an absolutely profound impact because even if you want to look at the worst teams this year, and there's some really, you know, the bad is really, really bad this year, but the number of teams that were 500 and up, the number of 50-win teams, the number of teams that were still chasing at minimum a play-in spot within the last couple of weeks is incredible. The fact that we went literally down to Sunday, the last day of the regular season, with a bunch of seedings still in play is all fantastic. It's great for the league. It's partially about parity. It's partially just about incentives within, you know, the standings and all these different inflection points. And the NBA did engineer the framework of that. And then the rest is up to chance, I think, a little bit. But I think it's great. I think it's great. Of course, what will happen is before too long, at some point soon, if we're not already, we will start saying, you know what I really miss? Dynasties. We don't have any dynasties anymore. Where'd those go?
Maybe Denver can put a stop to that. Howard Beck from The Ringer here on Writer Than You on Twitter or X or whatever I'm supposed to call it, at Howard Beck. Let me ask you a question.
It will always be Twitter. It's never right. Going to be anything other than Twitter. Nobody walks around saying, dude, did you see that thing on X today? And they'd be like, wait, what do you do? I don't want to know what you do with your spare time. Stay away from me with your X. Like, it's Twitter. Shut up.
Do you know what you just did naturally, organically?
What the Beck?
I like it. So good. I agree with everything you said. So good. All right. I love this question. I got asked this the other day over on TV, and I found it really interesting. Which, and you can answer it, take it however you want, which team in the play-in do you think has the best chance to make a run to the NBA Finals?
Ooh, boy. This is a great question, and it speaks to the parity of it, because ordinarily you'd be like, come on, all right. The play-in is there for some specific reasons, but really they're all cannon fodder, right? And I've said this myself, like 7th and 8th seeds in the NBA are cannon fodder, and you're playing in the play-in to beat the 7th or the 8th seed. You're cannon fodder. But in today's NBA, one, we saw the Lakers go from play-in to conference finals last year and the Heat go from play-in to NBA finals last year. So we already know, like, this is no longer an unusual event. It wouldn't be surprising to anybody. The Lakers have 47 wins this year and are in the play-in, but they're really good, and LeBron's still playing at an incredible level, and Anthony Davis has been great. So would I be surprised for the Lakers to go make another deep run at this stage? No. So they're top of the list. I never will rule out a Steph Curry team, but I just don't think the Warriors are positioned to do it this time. The Pelicans are all over the map, but they're really strong at times. The talent is there. We'll see what Brandon Ingram can bring after, you know, weeks out with an injury. The Heat already did this once, so we can't rule it out again. And then, of course, like the most intriguing of all the play-in teams, the Sixers, because they're only in the play-in because they lost Joel Embiid for however long it ended up being. And if Embiid, he's looked pretty good since he came back, and he is an unstoppable force, and he is a unique force, and there's nobody in the East that really has an answer for Joel Embiid. So, you know, in under ordinary circumstances, the Sixers would have never been a play-in team in the first place. So I'm going to put the teams most likely to make a run from the play-in. I think I'd put Sixers first, Lakers second, Heat third.
And I don't think the Pelicans are going to be that team, but they're not your typical 7-8 either. Howard Beck here on the show. Howard, I'm sure like me, you were thrilled this morning to see that your NBA ballot dropped and that it is due in 39 seconds. It's like a Mission Impossible email, right? This message will self-destruct with your self-respect in 39 seconds. How are you? Well, let me start here. How are you going MVP, if you don't mind me asking? I don't know if you're one of these secretive guys. I'm not. Do you find, because I find the bottom of the ballot pretty tough, actually.
Yeah, thanks NBA for this screwball new method of we're sending you a ballot. Here's the email to let you know that there will be a ballot. Here's another email to let you know the ballot will not be here today, but it might be here at some point in the near future, but we can't tell you exactly when because the season has to end first because we've created a new stupid 65-game rule, and we have to have mathematicians come in and figure out who's eligible, and then eventually you'll get the ballot, but we can't tell you when it will drop. But when it does drop, you will have very, very little time to do it. Thanks, NBA. That was great.
What the Beck?
It's true.
You caught me in a mood today, Bill.
I love it.
So, MVP, even the top of the ballot has at least caused me some consternation. I don't like to get locked in too early, right? Like Tim Bontemps does his polls for ESPN. We all participate, and it's fine. But I feel like every time I do it, I'm going, am I out of later or justify why I switched from, Jokic to Embiid or whatever else. And this year was interesting because, Embiid was the clear MVP favorite at the moment that he went down, and then that was it for him. And then Jokic was kind of de facto, but I don't like doing de facto. Like, I want to make sure that I've fully vetted my own views of this. So it was Jokic going in. I seriously, seriously considered whether Luka or Shai Gilgeous-Alexander should overtake him, but I think it's still going to be Jokic in the end, and those other two guys will follow. And then, Giannis is a tough case because statistically and just individually, he's been fantastic. The Bucks have been, for a 49-win team, they feel like a disaster. And obviously, not all 49-win teams are equal. Expectations play a lot of, role in this. But Giannis is still in there. He has to be. So what you're really referring to is the number five spot, I think, Bill?
Yeah, it's Brunson versus Tatum, where I just
– Yeah.
It's hard. So, I don't know what to do.
I will just say this. I've got two quick things on this. One is, as I have said, I'm going to keep promoting this. This is going to be my new campaign. And I brought this up on Bill Simmons' pod on The Ringer recently. Although I first proposed this years ago on my own podcast, the MVP ballot should go seven deep. And before anybody goes, oh, participation trophy, oh, everybody, listen, one, baseball's MVP goes 10 deep. 10. There are 10 slots. I don't know why there are 10, but there are 10 in baseball. We could do 7 in the NBA. And the reason why is exactly this kind of situation, Bill. Tatum is deserving of that fifth slot. Brunson is deserving of that fifth slot, and for very, very different reasons. Can only choose one of them. Those first four, I think, are almost certain. Like, I'll be shocked.
Yeah,
that's
my exact order. Yeah, I'm going Jokic, SGA, yeah. Luka, Giannis for me.
And then,
I think,
you know, Anthony Edwards deserves, I think, a little bit of consideration. And maybe you think Kawhi Leonard deserves some consideration. And before he got hurt and missed a bunch of games, you could have said Donovan Mitchell deserved some consideration. And in a normal year, well, Embiid didn't go down, Embiid would be in this mix too, and that would he'd be closer to the top. But the point is that every year, what we normally, you usually have a two-guy race for the top of the ballot, sometimes three, and then you got a bunch of guys who all were really good. Maybe their team didn't win enough. Maybe their stats weren't quite as sparkly as the other guys. And those are the guys you're always considering at 4 and 5. But there's always like 5 or 6 guys who are worthy of the 4 and 5. And what I'd really like is a ballot where, because it's decreasing point totals, right? So it's not going to affect the top of the ballot. It's not going to affect the race. This is not going to change who wins MVP or probably even who finishes second and third. But if we were able to add 2 slots, 6 and 7, so that you could say, you know what, it's Brunson by a hair over Tatum, but at least I can still put Tatum on my ballot, I'd feel a heck of a lot better. All that said, I'm probably going Brunson over Tatum.
Yeah, I have not. I've got my 4 written down, and then I've got Brunson, Tatum, and Edwards just staring at me. This stuff is nobody. I mean, like, it is the fifth spot, but it sounds like me. I think all the voters really want to get it right. I can't hit you with every single playoff scenario, so let me just ask you this: You brought up the Bucks. I'm not a huge Doc believer, and that team has been brutally dysfunctional and inconsistent. And obviously now you have this calf injury with Giannis, which is a serious, serious thing. Well, what do you think? Is Milwaukee going out first, second round? Do you see a world where everything comes together, including Giannis being healthy? How do you evaluate that basketball team?
Oh, man. I've rarely seen a team with this kind of high-end talent and expectations, you know, a plausible contender when the season began, just feel this lackluster. I mean, it happens now and then, but boy, the Bucks just—they're like, it's gotten to that point where you're just kind of sick of them being this lame. You're just kind of like, you know what, just go away, Bucks. Like, go figure your stuff out. Come back when you know what you are and what you're trying to accomplish. You know, and Giannis's injury on top of it just further clouds things. It's the opposite of the team of destiny. Sometimes you look at a team and go, oh, man, they've just got something special going. Like, this team, everything clicks. Everything's going their way. It looked like a team of destiny. This is the inverse of that, where it's just like the team of we're just sick of ourselves and want to crawl into a hole. Like, there's everything about the Bucks, the vibes are just off, and it's we should not be surprised if they go down in the first round to the Pacers, in part because it looks like Giannis won't even be healthy to start the series. And the Pacers are young and hungry and athletic, and they're, you know, they want to put a dent, you know, in this thing and you know, just kind of prove that they belong here. You know, the other thing, you know, Giannis has come back from injury very quickly before and been himself immediately. So he is, you know, that's possible, but every injury is different. Every situation is different. And the Bucks, you know, the Bucks went out in the first round last year. So they have a track record for this. So if I'm not a betting person, but if I were, I might be tempted to pick that upset.
Can they fire Doc Rivers? They can't, right? You're not going to pay 21 coaches at once. I'm assuming that come what may, Doc is good to go.
I don't think you're making yet another. I mean, he's already their third coach in a year. I mean, they just fired Budenholzer last year. So, no, I don't think that's happening, and I don't think this is on Doc necessarily. I mean, it's been a weird couple of months, but Doc isn't the reason that they're going to lose in the first round. If that happens, it'll partially be you know the Giannis injury. It'll partially be because they've gotten old in the wrong places. It'll partially be because the Drew for Damian Lillard swap hasn't exactly worked out. They've got all kinds of functional issues that are way beyond the coach.
All right, let me you brought us two of these organically, but I do have for you.
What the Beck?
This comes from my son. He turned to me when I picked him up from fifth grade yesterday from his class. He asked me the question I'm going to ask you, and I'm going to tell Henry that Howard Beck said this is the answer. Howard, do you think Bigfoot is real?
Yes, his name is Shaquille O'Neal.
All right,
that is,
great.
He has, the biggest foot, he has the biggest foot I've ever seen in my life. Is the actual Bigfoot real, like the Zapruder film kind of thing? No.
Right. Got it. All right, I'll tell him. That's great. We'll do a deep dive on Shaq for 3 hours tonight. I promise you, and I will pass on the message.
It's a really big foot. Shaq's foot.
Yeah.
You can't get over that. When you first start covering the NBA, and you know my first beat was the Lakers, and it takes a while, and eventually you become numb to the fact that all these guys are so tall, and you're constantly craning your neck upwards. But it's also like the first time you walk in and someone's like sitting down at their locker and like shoes are off, and they're like, my God, that foot is huge.
It's funny you say that. A mentor of mine, do you know Rick Jaffe? He's been a sports editor at the – anyway,
we might have
do you know
met
Rick?
Once, yeah.
Great guy. I love
Don't
Rick.
Don't know him well, but we met once. Yeah.
Amazing human being, and he was the LA Times sports editor during that era, and he has framed in his house a pair of Shaq shoes. And you have to see them to fully grasp what you are. His feet are, it's like a huge piece of art. They're huge, man. They're bigger than I am, I'm pretty sure.
You could charge $5,000 a month rent and somebody would take it in New York. Like that,
oh, yeah,
they would live in that.
Yeah, they Hunter just put up some curtains and make it work. Howard Beck, my friend, I know today's a horribly busy day for all of us. Thank you, NBA. So thank you for making time, buddy. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.